There comes a time if a practice is working and there's a sincerity to make it work, two separate things actually. In the practice is moving in the direction that it ultimately should, there will be a psychic pause likely within the participant in which he or she weighs whether they want to go forward or not. What are they going to get out of this? I mean, is this just going to take things away, or is it going to add a dimension of some benefit? And so in the course of this weekend, we're at that point. We are beginning to cross the threshold in which actually, it's not even a consideration, because if you've made it to this point, you know enough about yourself that you can't go back. And so the bridge has been destroyed. So you have to go forward, although it still gives you a pause about, I know the savings cross, but I'm sure this is, it's a kind of death. It's a kind of death. And the, what's happening is that the location of where we have considered ourselves to be becomes uprooted and transferred to a different level of consciousness. What we have learned when we reach this point is that where we have been has been a false truth, meaning something we took at one time to be true, but has since proved to be false. That wherever we look within the sense of what we had been so self-assured about, we're not. And therein lies the question I gave you for lunch. Is what I'm feeling true? Well, from the level of self where we have been, the level that's composed of thought, ideas, physical sensations, emotions, narrative, storyline, it seems to be a part of that whole rigor, it's a part of that whole display. But if we look at where that was derived, the derivation of that, we see that it was just a conditioned reference that at some point I started organizing the narrative around a particular thought, which led to a particular emotion, which elaborated the story of my life. And every time situations even appear to be similar to that, up arises this emotion and the thoughts and the stories come along with it. And so we see that it was arising out of a conditioned life, a certain set of circumstances, and we carry it forth to other similar circumstances. But that doesn't mean it's true. It just means it's circumstantial. It means it's conditional. It means we have learned to behave that way. So when we ask whether it's true or not, we're looking at something more relevant than its conditionality. Are the thoughts I'm telling myself within that storyline true to this particular moment? That's one level of truth. But is the feeling itself have any basis of truth, or is it just conditions? And if it's just conditions, it can be extinguished. I can just not react to it. I can just let it go. I can just say, okay, the feeling is. So what? Doesn't mean or represent anything? Doesn't point me in a particular direction? Doesn't have a summation to it? All of that has been infiltrated within the story of it. It's just this. It's just this feeling. And so what becomes more predominant than the feeling is the just this moment. And we don't, and to live an unconditioned life means we no longer respond to the conditions of our life. Now the root system of our life becomes, has a different focus. The focus moves towards what is underneath the conditions. What is this most essential and elemental display of life, its most essence, essential nature. Because the essential nature isn't conditioned, or it wouldn't be the essential nature. It would have to, all condition has to come on top of the essential nature. So it's not far away, and it's, when we say uproot, it's not like I'm going somewhere else. I'm just dissipating the topsoil, which has been artificially considered the bottom, and looking at what is really the truth and the simplicity and the isness of my life. So we're removing what is essentially has been communicated conventional means, conventional reality. What it leaves you with is your life. Not life filtered through the conventional interpretation, all of the conditioned ways that we have learned to see, including the perceptual field of being distant and separate from one another. That's part of the conditioning. When you have a master control that thinks it's in control, then everything is outside of that to be controlled. And so it's no wonder that in here, we think of ourselves as the center of the universe, because everything's coming in through here. All the senses, everything, thoughts, everything is coming into me. And so I must be the most important person in the world from that, just from the way perception is perceived. And of course, that leads to not only arrogance, but also distance and judgment and all of it. So basically, a conventional, conditional life is one that's not so pleasant. It's full of struggle, full of disappointment, full of contrast. It's not just that. It also has pleasant moments, but the sum total of it all doesn't make it worth living, basically. Maybe it is worth living to you. It's not to me. So I want to know, what's the new seat? Because the new seat, if it's free of that sort of stressful burden of disappointment and pleasure seeking, what is it? Well, it's very unconventional in the sense that it can't be, it has no words. Well, that's nice, because I was full of words before, and now all of a sudden, if this is to be entered, the sense of I has to be wordless. I have to be still. I have to be quiet. It's not stimulated through words. It's not prolonged through words. It's not encouraged through words. Words were the conditioning pattern which led to the old life. What's the new life like? Let me take a seat there. And since it was the fundamental essence of the old life, it holds the old life. Said differently, the formless reality of the truth, the awareness, the formless reality of awareness, holds all form, conditions formed from out of that. So noise comes out of stillness. Experience comes out of stillness. Everything comes out of this essential quietude. Something else. Before, I was looking for the meaning of life, looking for the purpose of life, looking for life itself to be meaningful to me. That's because I was distant from life. I was conditioned outside of life. My conditioning had nothing to do with life. I had to overcome my conditioning to even access life. And usually it was in form of some rub of pleasure or purpose or meaning. But when we live the fundamental truth, meaning, the question of meaning falls away. There's no question it's meaningful. Everything is meaningful. Everything is equally meaningful. And more importantly, it's the seat of aliveness itself, because it has nothing to obstruct it or obscure it or conditioned over it. So it's life full on, existence full on, And I don't mean in some kind of overpowering way. It's just that it is life. This is life. And it's recognizable immediately as life. Isn't that amazing? Recognizable as meaning. So what then becomes our strategy at once we have taken that seat and we start to feel its benefit and we develop a taste for it in an ongoing way rather than just a partial way where we like to put our toe in and put our toe out and put our toe in and put in pretty during the hoochie goochie or whatever that was, 1 foot in and 1 foot out. It's to be in the seat of life. That's the end of struggle. It doesn't mean that the conditioned reference of my life goes away and vanishes and I don't know myself anymore, or I don't have any emotions that arise, because those things are still conditioned. They still bubble up given the right context of the situation. But there's a greater context to the conditioning that doesn't move at all in relationship to that patterning. That greater context of awareness that holds all form. So when you're troubled by an emotion, what holds it? Is what holds it troubled by what you're troubled by? The sense of I being troubled is part of the troubling. But the context also holds the sense of me. So I'm not, the sense of, it ends in the stillness. The troubling ends in the stillness that holds the trouble, holds the struggle, but is no longer identified with it. And then the path forward becomes how do I keep personifying myself that disturbs my abiding in the formless and awareness? Why do I keep going back and forth? Even if you don't want to, for a long period of time, that occurs. So you find yourself outside of it thinking, how do I get back in? You start looking at the mechanism from which you become outside. Well, you're starting to be self-concerned. Anytime you're self-concerned, and that's more important than the undisturbed formless awareness, the perception is going to fold around that disturbance. So take COVID. Like, I'll go out with my mask, take a walk. Here comes four people together in a group, no mask on. The sidewalk is only so wide, and I can't get off of it for one reason or another. And I think, God, why don't they just put their damn... Now I'm self-concerned. There's no heart in there. It says, these people are so... I just feel like, put your goddamn mask on and... Do it for all, all that, okay? I'm sure you go through it as well. Complete, might as well be back. Step one, on the breath. So you start learning what the mechanism is. And it changes your perspective and way you hold life. So, for instance, if one of your values is love, you will find love in abundance, in origin, if that's a better word, in origin, in awareness. That's the origin of it. That is it. And that starts changing one's starts changing the way I perceive life itself. The life starts broadening itself out in a way that is inescapable from love. And I found a quote from Thomas Merton that I think captures the spirit of this. And he says, our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they're worthy. This is not our business. And in fact, it's nobody's business. What we are asked to do is to love. And this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbors worthy. See, that's a change of, that's a change of context. I'm not, it's not the squabbling of whether they're wearing masks or not. Love is, and I want to get to a safe place away from their virus contamination or whatever is going on in me. Those two seem to be in contrast. They're not in contradiction. It's a, much of this is a paradox that cannot be rationally understood, but they live side by side. What also lives side by side is the sense of being a collective person in form, functional, able to use the knowledge base from which he or she is derived within the context of being forever complete and perfect in that, in the absolute sense, needing nothing. Side by side, those two reside. Doesn't make any sense. How can they reside side by side? They do. Because the holding of the contextual conditioning keeps the reactivity of the conditioning to a minimal. And it holds a different space in which love is. And that's part of what infiltrates the entire perception. Meanwhile, the actual way we perceive through the eyes, and I mean what we see, comes together in a way that's magical. Magical in the sense that things don't lose their shape. You know a house, but it's not divided from the house next door. It's seamless. The space between and the two houses, let us just as an example, are seamlessly connected, because they're not being distinguished as being distinct from one another. That happened automatically through the knowing quality of my conditioned awareness, conditioned sense of me. And that goes. There's another quote by the Buddha, but I didn't bring it with me, where he says, it's not abnormal perception. It's not unusual perception. It's not normal perception, but it's not abnormal perception either. It's a new way of looking. You see, so it's not things on their disarranged or not seen at all. It's not the absence of perception, but it's a new way of perceiving the old perception, is another way of saying it. You know, if you're pausing at this point and figuring out whether you want to go forward, ask yourself if you have any choice. It's good to know you know whether you do it. And then in your own time, in your own spirit, in your own willingness, and with your own intention, march it forward. I tell you this in truth, that going forward, each step is worth whatever fear we have to go through to get there. And sometimes there's some fear that arises.